most of you will remember. If not remember, you've maybe at least seen it on ESPN's replays. Muhammad Ali used to get up and say, "I am the greatest." And then he would put on his boxing gloves and, generally speaking, go in the ring and prove it. And most of the time, he would back it up. You know, one of the things most of us learn in life is sooner or later, we have to back up what we say. And what we've been doing since Easter, Christ made a lot of claims. In 3 years of ministry, he said a lot of things. I don't think he ever said, "I am the greatest," but he said, "I am a lot of things." And then on Easter Sunday with the resurrection, he proved it. He got in the ring, and he proved everything that he said. So the last 7 weeks, we've been looking at those seven I am statements of Christ in the Gospel of John. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the shepherd. I am the door of the sheep. I am the bread. This morning, I want to look at the last one, and Christ simply says, "I am the vine." But even though he makes a simple statement, just a couple of words, "I am the vine," four words, he actually spends about 15 or 16 verses then explaining exactly what it means to be the vine, what the implications and what he's talking about that statement, "I am the vine." Now, I don't know every one of you background, and I know for certain that some of you have a good bit of gardening and farming background, and I'm also certain that some of you couldn't grow a plastic plant in a pot. But I think you have some idea about gardening and planting and those kind of things. And so, and by the way, I'm in that last group, just in case you're wondering. I grew up and had to do a lot of hoeing and tending to the garden, that kind of thing. And once in my adult life, I decided I would have a garden of my own. And I made a promise to God that I would, as long as Mr. Kettner had a produce department, I would not garden. So I have stayed true to that. On occasion, behind my grandmother's house is an area that for years different people have gardened. And every now and then, my mother does the work of Satan and tempts me and asks me if we want to plow that up and have a garden. So far, there have been a time or two I've backslid and thought about it, but so far I have overcome the work of the devil and not succumbed to the temptation to garden. So I do know a little bit about gardening. One of the things I know about gardens, don't do it. I do know a little bit about it, and I think most of you do as well. And so I'm going to kind of rely on that, and hopefully what we're looking at this morning is simple enough in the gardening department that all of us can kind of catch along and play along. And if all else fails, I brought pictures. And so I think we can get through this explanation of gardening. If we look in John chapter 15, I want to look, first of all, rather than read the whole text, we're going to go and back to it, but I want to look at this story. Look at this passage and just point out a few things that Christ says. Just kind of skim over it real quick. He begins in verse 1 by saying, "I am the true vine." So we have no question what he's saying there. He says, "I am the vine." That lays it out. We understand that Christ is saying, "I am the vine." There's no discussion, as we understand the characters in this text. Christ is saying, "I am the vine." Then he goes on and he says, "My Father is the husbandman." Now, I'm going to make it a lot easier on me to say and you to understand. Husbandman is kind of a tongue twister for me. So I'm going to say what most of us would understand. He says, "I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener." I can say gardener. And so he says, "I am the vine, the Son is the vine, and the Father is the gardener." So we've got two of the characters. Then he begins verse 2 by saying, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." So if the Father is the gardener and Christ is the vine, then who does that leave to be the branch? Us. Now, very good. That just, you do know a little about gardening. We're making progress. The Father is the gardener, Christ is the vine, and then we are the branches coming out off of the vine. And then he talks about something. He says about bearing fruit. And over again, if you look at this statement, one of the things that just keeps coming up is a phrase that Christ keeps using here repeatedly when he says, every branch that beareth fruit in verse 2. Verse 2 again at the end, bringeth forth more fruit. Verse 4, he says, bear fruit. He keeps going on down through here. Verse 5, bringeth forth much fruit. And he continues if you keep looking. Verse 8, bear much fruit. He keeps going. And just repeatedly, we have these statements about bearing fruit. So, if the characters are the Son is the vine, and the Father is the gardener, and we are the branches, what is the topic of this passage? Oh, come on, I just gave it to you. Bearing fruit. So, we've got the gist of the story. So it's down here from there. When he says, Father is the gardener, he is the vine, we are the branches, and he's going to talk to us about bearing fruit. How do we bear fruit? How exactly? Well, what's he talking about? It's obvious that he wants us to bear fruit. So, I think there are three things that we need to know, three things that we need to understand in this story if we're going to understand how to bear fruit. If we're going to bear the fruit that the Son wants us to bear, then we need to know three things. One of them is very simple. One of them is quite simple, and it is the relationship to the vine. The relationship to the vine. Look what he says there in that verse. In verse 4, he starts out saying it. When he says there in that passage, he says that without me, he says, you bear no fruit. Except that abide in the vine, no more can you accept you abide in me. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that is in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And so the first thing we have to understand about bearing fruit is the relationship to the vine. That the branches cannot bear fruit without the vine. Understand who he's talking to when he talks to them, this story, when he's giving this lesson. He's talking about the children of God, those who know Christ as their Savior. He's saying that they can only bear fruit by being connected to the vine. In other words, if you're here this morning and you say, well, I'm trying my best to live a good life. In other words, you're saying, I'm trying to bear fruit. I'm trying to do what's right. I'm trying to do good things. Here is the problem. Jesus says that a branch cannot bear fruit separated from the vine. And so if you're here this morning and you say, well, I give to the church. In fact, I put in an offering envelope this morning. I was in Sunday school. I'll be back tonight. I was here Wednesday night. I've been praying a lot. I've been reading my Bible. I've been sending money to an orphanage, and I've been doing all these other things. What Christ says here is very simply, you cannot bear fruit separated from the vine. And so what he's saying to us this morning is the first thing we've got to understand about bearing fruit is that we cannot bear fruit apart from Jesus Christ. In fact, he says, you can do nothing. And by that sense, wait a minute, I'm doing a lot of things. Yes, you are. But you can do nothing of eternal significance apart from Jesus Christ. You can do nothing. You will never be, no matter how good you are, all the things you do, you can do nothing that matters separated from Christ. And so, the first thing we have to ask ourselves about bearing fruit is, do we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? I realize this morning that perhaps that's starting at the end of most sermons. Generally in most sermons we work our way towards that question is, do you know Christ? But this morning, based on this text, the question is if it's not. Why even talk about bearing fruit? Why even talk about bearing any fruit? When first of all, we have to ask ourselves, are we attached? Do we know Christ? Do we know the vine? And it's very simple. Here's a really simple illustration. Believe it or not, I don't know how well you can see. I started to beat at you with that. He thought it was a switch. It is literally a branch off of a grapevine. Now, Archie, I want you to do me something. I don't even need to go this far. Archie, wait a minute. I got a better idea. These are real plants over here. I'm going to take this. I'm not going to touch them because I'd kill them. I'm going to take this piece of branch, and I'm going to stick it down in here. And my wife, did you water that this morning like usual? It looks wet. Somebody's watered it. It's in good potting soil, and it's wet. Pansy, your job when church is over is to pick the grapes. Why not?
There's no branches that's coming out from it, no leaves on it.
So you tell me I'm not going to have any grapes there?
Yes, sir, I'm afraid I am.
That just isn't going to do any good by itself. Well, how about if I lay it up here on top of this living plant? So you're telling me that I'll never have any grapes on my branch? So you get it, is what you tell me. You get it. Do you get it? Apart from Christ, separated from the vine, you're about as useless as this piece of twig. You've got to understand the relationship to the vine. Before we talk about bearing fruit, you can plant yourself in the pot. You can sit in church. You can sing the songs. You know what? I could take this twig and I could go out to a genuine, real, growing grapevine. And I could stick it down in the dirt right beside that grapevine. You know how many grapes I'd get?
None.
Why? Because it's separated from the vine. First thing you got to understand if you're going to bear fruit, you got to have a relationship to the vine. So before we move on, ask yourself this question. Do I know Jesus? If not, what you're bearing is not fruit. As a matter of fact, Diane, what'd you do? What'd you do with my grapevine? Did you put it back in that little closet? I'll be back. Is it unlocked? I'll be back. Never mind, I can't reach it. You know what was hanging on the thing I picked this off of?
A wreath.
It was a wreath, but you know what else was hanging on it? A whole bunch of grapes. Do you know what was the problem with them grapes were?
They were artificial.
You may be bearing fruit, you think. You may be giving, you may be attending church, reading your Bible, but folks, they're artificial grapes. You got to have a relationship to the vine. Second thing we have in this story is not only the vine. Then we're going to talk about the gardener. What is the role of the gardener? What does the gardener do in this story? Well, when we look at this, it's kind of again one of those things that that I hope again you've done enough gardening and done enough messing with plants and that kind of thing. Some of you might have a few tomato plants growing, and much of the lesson is the same. You don't have to be you don't have to have a grape vineyard to understand the role of a gardener. But when we look at this story, it says the gardener. He says the branch that doesn't have any fruit, he takes it away, and a branch that bears fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. What is the role of the gardener? What is the job of the gardener? What is the job of the gardener? To tend to it, to make sure that it bears fruit. Is that the role of the gardener?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. Look what he says. Gardener's job isn't to make it bear fruit. That's not his job. How about this? Is it the gardener's job to make sure the branch bears much fruit? Think that's his job? No. Look what he says. Look back at the passage. You might not notice this if you don't look close. Look what he says. Well, verse 2 is on the screen for you. You can see it. I want you to see the progression that Jesus describes. In verse 2, he says there are branches that don't have any fruit. They bear no fruit. You know what a branch that bears no fruit is, right? And again, I told you I had pictures. Branch that bears no fruit. So there are branches, there are grapevines that look long and hard, and you got a vine there that doesn't have any fruit. Now, let me tell you something. Y'all go home and y'all try this on your own. Those of you have internet access. Do you know how hard it is to find a picture of a grapevine with no grapes? It's tough. I like never found a picture of a grapevine with no grapes. You know why? Grapevines are supposed to have grapes. Grapevines without grapes are as odd as Christians without fruit. They're just not supposed to be. Grapevines are supposed to have grapes. Well, Jesus says some of those branches, they have no fruit. I finally found one. There was a grapevine out there somewhere that had no fruit. But notice he say some of them have no fruit. But look what he says in verse 2. He says some of them bear fruit. Now, there are some grapevines out there that have fruit. Now, you look at that one. That grapevine, it's got some grapes on it. They're kind of sad, but they got some grapes. Yeah, I don't know about you, but if I've tended to grapes, and I know a little bit about grapevines, my great-grandmother had a grapevine in her yard, and one thing I know about grapevines is if they have much for grapes at all, they have yellow jackets. Yeah, and if I've put up with yellow jackets and all that mess all year, I want more grapes than that. Wouldn't you agree? If I've mowed around it, and I've tended to it, and I've fed it, and I've watered it, I want more grapes than that. But Jesus says, look at verse 2, he says some has no fruit. He says some bear some fruit. Well, that's some fruit. That's a grapevine, right? You can look at it and say, that's a grapevine. It's got some fruit. If you go on in verse 2, what else does he say? He says some even bear more fruit. Now we're talking. He says, some bear more fruit. You see that? Verse 2's got all three of those. No fruit, some fruit, more fruit. More fruit. I like that. Now we're getting somewhere. That's my kind of grapevine. But then if you keep looking, look what he says in verse 5. He says there's even a next step above that. He says there are some that bear no fruit, some that bear some fruit, some that bear more fruit. But look at verse 5. He says there, some bear much fruit. Now, more fruit and much fruit. Now, I don't have a picture of the difference between more fruit and much fruit. But I think you don't need a picture, don't you? You don't have to be a gardener to understand the difference in more fruit and much fruit, right? Yeah, that's pretty obvious that, that's some fruit. That's pretty obvious. That's more fruit. That's pretty obvious. But there could be more, right? That doesn't have to be all. So there could be much fruit. Well, that sounds good. How many of you want to bear much fruit? Yeah, you want to be the kind of Christian, but you don't want to, you don't want to be that, you don't want to be this kind of Christian. You don't want to, you don't want to look like that, I hope. Yeah, you don't want to be that kind of Christian that goes about our life. What would you do if that was your grapevine? You'd do something to it, wouldn't you? You'd feed it, cut it, something. You'd do something to that grapevine. If you spent all year and you had that kind of grapevine, what would you do? Hopefully you wouldn't be sad. You can't even have communion with those few grapes. Yeah, much less make jelly or anything else. You're just out of luck. Yeah, you'd be lucky to make one of them little restaurant-sized grape jelly things. Yeah, you're out of luck. So some fruit's not enough. Well, then there's more fruit, there's much fruit. And all of us, how many of them much fruit? You want to be that kind of Christian. You don't know? We got nowhere today. Y'all not cooperating at all. Which one you want to be? Let's try this again. No fruit? Some fruit? More fruit?
Yeah.
How about much fruit?
Yeah.
Much fruit. How about if I told you that's not even what he's after? Look down in verse 16. You have to drop way down in verse 16 and see what he says. He says there that the gardener, look what he says. He says the gardener works, and if we abide in him, he said that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. That's the fruit that God is after. That's the fruit that the gardener is after. The fruit that remains. That word remains, a simple way to put it, is the best fruit. Let me give you another picture and kind of see if this makes sense to you. How about this? There's a lot of grapes hanging there. Would you agree? What's wrong with them? They're rotten. Most of them are rotten. If you look, I don't know how well the picture shows up from where you're sitting, but most of those grapes are rotten. There's a lot of grapes, but they're rotten. You understand? Jesus says, don't want you to have no fruit. Don't want you to have some fruit. Don't want you to have more fruit. Don't want you to have much fruit. Listen, I'd rather have five good grapes than 500 rotten grapes. Wouldn't you? And so Christ says here, what the gardener wants is the best grapes. Not necessarily the most, not necessarily the least, but the best grapes. That's what the gardener wants in my life. It's not about how busy can I stay. It's not about how many things am I involved in. It's not about how much can I give. It's not about how much do I attend. It's not about how often do I witness. It's about how often do I do what the gardener wants done. That's what he wants. He says it's not about some fruit, no fruit, much fruit, more fruit, but the gardener's objective in my life is to bring forth fruit that remains. Good fruit. Fruit that lasts. Fruit that reproduces more fruit. Listen, that vine right there is literally, and again, I'm not sure how well you can see it, but it is literally hanging full of rotten grapes. The gardener is working to produce in you the best grapes. Not necessarily the most grapes. We're not having a race here for me and Tommy to see which one of us can give the most or lead the most people to Christ or come to church the most or know the most about the Bible or any of those things. That's not, God is not interested in quantity. He already loves it all to begin with. What he is interested in is the best fruit. When you go over to the produce department, do you walk through and do you look for the biggest bunch of bananas or do you look for the best bunch of bananas? Do you look for the biggest bag of grapes or the best bag of grapes? And so Christ, what he is saying to us today is that the garden is working in us to make us the best we can be. Not necessarily the most. It's not about how much I do or when I do it, where I do it, but that I do what God wants me to do, that I am the best, that I bear the best fruit that I can. How does he do that? Now here's where it gets ugly. Now, and here's where it gets uncomfortable for us, because he tells us something here. He says that if we're going to be more than just no fruit, some fruit, much fruit, more fruit, he says if we're going to bear the best fruit. Now, you know as well as I do, I'm not a gardener. I readily admit to that. This is about the length of my gardening ability, to be perfectly honest with you. Yeah, I can grow a mean patch of dandelions. I can do that. But honestly, I don't know much about gardening, but this I know. I'm sure of this. There are somewhere in the world, there is a grapevine growing that is producing a lot of grapes that the gardener's never touched. Wouldn't you agree? I believe you hear gardeners, farmers sometimes call them volunteer plants. You ever had a volunteer plant? I know a guy had a pig pen. He had a volunteer marijuana stalk come right up in the middle. Nobody, he didn't even know what it was. It can come up on its own. But to be the best, the gardener's got to tend it. How does the gardener tend the vine? Look what he says. First of all, he says he prepares us. Look what he says in verse 2. He says there that if a branch doesn't bear any fruit, he takes it away. Now, I know what that sounds like to you and I in the English. I know what that sounds like. That sounds like just what I've done here. A branch that doesn't have any fruit, that he is, that branch has got to go. Yeah, that branch is not producing, and so it's got to go and get off my vine. But what happens once you, we've already said, what happens once you break that branch off? It'll never produce, right? So what does the good gardener do to a branch that doesn't produce fruit? Well, what he does is he prepares it, he moves it, and the gardener will take, and he will take that vine, and he will move that vine in a way that it gets sunlight. And have you ever tied up your tomatoes? Why'd you tie them up? For one reason, it's too lazy to bend over and pick your tomatoes. Second of all, don't tell me they won't grow on the ground. Anybody ever watch a little house or grow tomatoes knows he never staked one up at all. He let them run like cucumbers. But what happens? You've got to take that vine and move that vine so it can get some sunlight. The other thing that happens to grapevines is when you've got a grapevine hanging full of grapes, what happens to the weight of those grapes? Start, it'll break the vine, it'll drag the vine down, it'll get it down near the ground where the animals and things can eat your grapes. Dirt, dust will get on the grapes, they can't get the sunlight. So the gardener occasionally has to come by and move the vine. He takes it away from the bad spot and puts it in a good spot so that it can bear fruit. Now, we don't like to hear that, because here's what that means. That occasionally, God comes along and upsets your apple cart. Sometimes God comes along and changes what you're comfortable with. Sometimes He has to come along and He brings things into our life that position us, that move us and point us towards Christ, that point us towards, help me, you move the grapevine so it gets positioned near the sun. And so every now and then, God, the gardener comes along and allows things into our life to do what? To point us toward the sun. Back to the vine. The gardener, he says, rearranges those vines and gets us. And so the gardener has to position us and change us and get us pointed towards this. Let's face it. We were having this conversation this morning, and let's face it, after the events of September the 11th, there were a lot of people that did what? All of a sudden, they turned around, and they started looking towards the sun. They started looking towards the sun. They started looking to the Bible for answers. What happens? Every now and then, God brings things into our life that positions us and points us back to the sun. But sometimes, that's not even enough. He goes on and says, not only does He taketh away, but then He uses that word, purgeth. King James, purgeth. If you've got a newer translation, it probably says prune. And if you've got an even newer translation, it probably says clean. In other words, every now and then, He comes along and He takes the branch and He gets off everything that's not necessary. I'm going to test some of you. I know some of you know. Some of them at 8:30 knew the answer to this. I'm going to test some of you. Even I know this. I even know what this is. Even in my limited gardening ability. And I don't know how good you can see that. But right there in that, you see that little piece of green shoot coming up right there? See it right there? See it right there? What do you call that? Sucker. A sucker. That a boy, Dale. You might not act surprised that you knew that. I knew you knew it. Why do they call them suckers? Because they come up right there in that little intersection and they suck off the nutrients and the nutrition that would be going out to the branch. So what do you do to those little suckers? You break them off. You break them off. Why? Because those little suckers don't bear fruit. They just suck the nutrients away from the limbs, from the branches that would have had fruit. Every now and then in every one of our lives, we get sucker branches. We got things in our life that take our attention, that take our energy, that take our focus, and keep us from bearing fruit. Sometimes God has, and here's the good thing about it. Sometimes, like a tomato plant, whatever, when they're down about that small, how do you get rid of a sucker? You just kind of come along and pinch it off, can't you? Kind of break it right off. But what happens after a while? After a while, they get a little longer. They get a little tougher. And it sounds something like that when you have to break them off. They get a little harder. Sometimes those sucker things in our life get a little more ingrained, get a little stronger, and a little deeper. Sometimes that arrogance in our life, Christ has to come along and break it off. Sometimes that anger has to be broken. Sometimes there's people in our life, He has to break them out. Because those people are keeping us from being what the gardener wants us to be. And the gardener comes along and it hurts. It's painful. But you know what? The gardener has the best interest of the vine and the branch in mind. What is it in our life that's a sucker vine that's keeping us, that the Father's trying to break off and get rid of in our life, that's keeping us from bearing fruit? See, the role of the gardener, the Father, His sole objective is to help us bear not some fruit, not more fruit, not much fruit, but the best fruit. Now, would that sucker vine keep that grapevine from, would it keep that branch from having grapes? Obviously not. I've got my arrow on top of it, but if you look right there, it's starting to grow some grapes. But I'm going to tell you what, those grapes will never be what they could be as long as the sucker vines are allowed to grow. You'll never be what you should be as long as those things are in your life that need pruning. So, what do we need to do? We see the relationship with the vine. It all starts right there. The role of the gardener. And then finally, here's what it comes down to. The responsibility of the branch. What is our job? What is our duty? Now, we've already kind of had this discussion. We talked about it. Well, what is the responsibility of the branch? Is it to bear fruit? I done got you nervous now. I did the same thing to 8:30. They were scared to answer my questions. I made them nervous. I promise you, there is not electricity in the pews. You will not be shocked if you get it wrong. I have thought about that for various reasons, but exactly. That's the job of the branch. See, we think our task is to bear fruit. We are never, I tell you what, you go home, and I don't even know how many translations of the Bible there are today, but you go home and you read it. Read them all. Go back, you buy a Greek New Testament somewhere, and you will see that we are not told to produce fruit. You know how I know branches don't produce fruit? What's left of my poor little branch, y'all have already told me. Branches don't produce fruit, do they? Vines produce fruit. For the branch to produce fruit, it's got to be connected to the vine. You can have all the branches in the world, and you'll never have grapes. For the branch to bear fruit, it's got to be what? Focused on the vine. It's all it does. All day long, they sit around and think, how do I make more grapes? And they come up with one answer. I got to stay hooked to the vine. Got to stay hooked to the vine. Jesus says in this verse, abide in me. The job, the responsibility of the branch is one thing. Abide in me. He doesn't say produce fruit. He tells us to bear the fruit. What does it mean, bear fruit? It's the same word that's used to bear someone's burdens. If you bear someone's burdens, you don't give them burdens, do you? I hope. You help them carry them. The branch doesn't produce the grapes. The branch bears the grapes, right? The vine produces the grapes. It all goes back to the vine. He says it. Without me, you can't do anything. And so our job is simple. Focus on the vine. Do you know why he never tells us to produce fruit? We can't. Exactly. We can't. We don't have the ability. It's not in us. Where does the fruit come from? The fruit comes from the vine. And so what does he tell us to do? He says every day when your eyes pop open, every day when your feet hit the floor, you take your little branch cell and you pull it towards the vine. You focus on the vine. Every day when you get up, when you go to work, your focus is what? To produce the best fruit. And you do that by focusing on Christ. Every day when you go to class, every day when you go home, my job is simple. I have one task in life, and that is to abide in the vine. You know why? Because a branch that abides in the vine will have fruit. And if you don't have fruit, then you must not be abiding in the vine. Pansy, did you ever get many grapes? You couldn't now. If you was going to get any, I'd have destroyed your branch.
I don't think I got any out of it.
There's not even a hint of a grape. Folks, He doesn't worry about us producing fruit. He wants us to abide in Him. That our focus, our attention should be on being what the vine wants us to be. You know, I'll tell you something about this vine right here, this little piece of branch. Never in its life, before it was chopped off by some woman to make a wreath, because wreaths are way more important than grapes. Never in this little branch's life did it ever, one time, look over at the squash plant and say, I wish I could have a squash. Never once in this little branch's life did it ever look over in the cornfield and say, I wish I could produce corn. It said, I got one job. Hang on to the vine. Hang on to the vine. And if I hang on to the vine, I'll produce whatever kind of fruit the vine wants me to produce. Can I submit to you this morning, and I know this may sound a little bit odd, you're going to let it sink in. Quit worrying about producing fruit. Some of you are worried about how many people you can lead to the Lord, how much money you can give, how much you come to church, all those kind of things. You got one job. One job. Abide in the vine. And if you abide in the vine, all the fruit will take care of itself. Abide in the vine. It's a really simple question this morning. The question is not, are you producing fruit? That would be a good invitation. That's not the question. The question, are you producing much fruit? More fruit? That'd be a good question. But it's not the question. The question is, can we truly say we're abiding in the vine? That our sole focus, our attention in everything we do is being the man, the woman, that Jesus Christ wants us to be. It's not enough to go about and me and some of you sit and say, I really want to be a good husband. And do you know how to be a good husband? Abide in the vine. Do you know how to be a good father? Focus on the vine. Do you know how to be a good employee? Focus on the vine. And do you know how to be a good businessman? Focus on the vine. Do you know how to be a good mother? Focus on the vine. You get it? That's all He told us to do. Abide in me. That's our job. I want to ask you to bow your head just as our musicians come. And the invitation, the question this morning is not, are you producing fruit? The question is, are we focused on Him? Are we abiding in Christ? Do you have a relationship with the vine? You're here this morning, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never accepted Him into your heart. Bearing fruit begins with a relationship with the vine. If you don't know Him, you need to come this morning and let us show you from God's Word how you can know Him. But you're here today, and you say, I am a Christian. I know I'm a Christian. Not only how much fruit are you bearing, are you bearing more fruit than this guy or that guy, but are you focusing? Are you abiding daily in the vine? If not, you need to be at this altar saying, Lord, help me. Help me. Help me to abide in You, and then I will bear fruit as we stand. help me to abide in you. Focus on you. I want to bear fruit, but I know I can't do it without you. I can't do it apart from you. Got some sucker vines in my life, some things I need to get rid of. Things that are taking my attention away from Him. Appreciate your attention. Remind you again that tonight at 6 o'clock, want to encourage you to be here and just going to give you the presentation that was from the leadership team at the association a few weeks ago. A lot of changes, a lot of things going on in our local association. And the question, very simply, from the leadership team to all 80